Someone's gonna be back here.
The more that I
You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, Lord, you are on your throne. Yes, you are God. Say, you are God alone.
From before time began, you are on your throne. You are God alone. In the good times and bad,
what we have to do is, Brother Hill sometimes walks around
so to do the
auto-tracking of that, then have him
totally pointed at the movement,
just in case, so that if he's standing in the movement, he reuses that camera when he moves around.
You are God alone. And from before time began, you are on your throne.
Because you are God alone.
Right now,
in the good times and bad, oh, you are on your throne. Yes, you are God alone right now. And right now, in the good times and bad, oh,
you are on your throne.
Yes, and you are God alone. One more time right now.
And right now,
oh,
in the good times and bad,
hey, you are on your throne. Because
you are God alone. Amen.
Somebody
amen.
Give him praise. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So good to be back in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
On tonight, as we mentioned on Sunday, we are being blessed to have Brother Andrew Glover with us on tonight. He is passing through on his way to Trinidad and decided to stop in and see us. And there's many other churches that he could have gone to, but God saw fit to have him come our way.
Amen.
And so we're looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us on tonight. We want to just get ourselves out of the way and allow our brother to come in his own special way to minister to the hearts of the believers. Amen. Let's continue to sing, amen, this, we'll welcome Brother Andrew. You're unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. Amen. That's what you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, you're unchangeable. Yes,
you're unshakable.
Unstoppable.
Oh, that's what you are.
Unchangeable.
You're unchangeable.
Oh, unshakable.
Unshakable.
You're unstoppable. That's what you are. Hallelujah. One more time. Unchangeable. You're unshakable. God, you're unstoppable.
Unstoppable.
That's what you are.
That's what you are.
You are God. Say you are God alone. Oh, from before.
You are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good time and bad, you are on your throne.
Amen. Amen.
There's no God beside him. And he is God, and he is God alone.
Amen. And
I think about how many gods there are in the world tonight. Amen. To think that the grace of God has given us the privilege tonight. Amen. Not to be serving a God, but to be serving the one true and living God.
Amen.
Amen. We know who he is tonight. We're not worshiping at the altar of the unknown God, but our God has been clearly identified in this generation.
I'm Amen.
Tonight,
Amen.
He's been identified as a Savior, as a healer, as a deliverer, whatever you have need of tonight.
Yes. Amen.
Tonight. Maybe we just bow our hearts for a word of prayer as we open his word. Maybe you have just a special need upon your heart tonight, something that you would desire from the Lord. If you would just want to slip your hand up to him, I know he sees every hand, he knows every need. Heavenly Father, Lord, as your believers have gathered here this afternoon, Father, we've not gathered here out of ritual or out of tradition, Lord, but Father, we've gathered here because there is a deep calling to the deep. And Lord, your prophet told us that before there was a deep calling to the deep, there was a deep to respond. Lord, how thankful we are tonight that we're not gathered here, Lord, just trying to work something up or find something. But Lord, you're still Jehovah Jireh. You provided something. Lord, you provided something for us to believe, your word. Lord, you provided something for our healing. You have provided something, Lord, for every need that's represented here tonight. Father, you've seen every hand that was raised. Behind that hand, Lord, you know the need, whether it be a financial need, a spiritual need, a physical need. Lord, whatever the need would be, there's no need too big for you, Lord. As Father, I invite you to come in the building tonight. Lord, may you walk up and down the aisles of this sanctuary, Father. Lord, maybe for one at home unable to be here, listen to this service, or one that will go back and hear it. Father, I pray that you administer to their needs, Lord. I pray, oh God, you would forgive us of our failures. You would forgive us of our shortcomings, Lord, that we would be transformed by the renewing of our mind, Father. Lord, I pray tonight that you would come and meet the needs of your children, Lord. Father, we're not gathered here to be seen or to be heard, but Father, that you would come among us in the preaching of your word. And Lord, by that, you would meet the needs of your children. Father, I pray a special blessing upon our brother Jack, upon his family, upon this assembly, dear God. I pray, Lord, that you would make ways out of no ways for them.
Yes, Lord.
Father, I pray you would give them the heart's desire, oh God. Lord, they've stood here for many, many years faithful in this community, Lord. Father, holding up this end time banner, I pray, Lord, you open the windows of heaven. And Lord, you pour out a blessing that they would have not room enough to receive. And Lord, as we open your word, may you come among us tonight. And Lord, we'll be sure to give thee all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. For it's in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we pray. And all the believer says,
Amen.
Amen. And amen. God bless you tonight. We greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to say it is a real honor and a privilege to be here tonight with you all. And we thank Brother Jack for this opportunity to stand here behind the sacred desk and speak to you tonight from the word of the Lord. And we sure appreciate Brother Jack, appreciate his friendship. And there's one thing about Brother Jack, no matter how long we go without seeing each other, it seems like just pick up right where we left off. And we always enjoy our fellowship with him and the assembly here and you all. And
Amen.
And we thank the Lord for what you're doing, for the message of the hour and your stand. We say God bless you all. Amen. We do want to bring you greetings from our church and home there. Our pastor, Brother Matt, and the saints at Grace Tabernacle send their greetings. I'm on my way to Trinidad, and it worked out the way we were traveling to come through here and see you all tonight. So we thank the Lord for that opportunity. And I don't have my family with me this time, so you all forgive me. But we were, last time we was here, a family of three, but we're now a family of four.
Amen. Lord bless us. Amen.
Amen. Grace was born September 20th. And so the Lord has been blessing us. Our little boy Malachi fell and broke his leg on the 18th, and Hayden was born on the 20th. So, but by God's grace, we're here. Malachi's recovered, and we're pressing on. So we sure want to thank the Lord for his blessings tonight. And I know it's a Wednesday night. If you have your Bibles, we want to go to the book of Romans, the 12th chapter. The book of Romans, the 12th chapter here tonight. I want to read the first and second verse, and then I want to look in Ephesians chapter 6. I know Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 is a very familiar reading. Brother Brandon uses it in power of transformation, God's power to transform. In Romans 12 and verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God,
that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, I think it's very astounding there that Paul does not say your soul, but he says that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Now watch what he says, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes, Lord.
That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, I want to begin there in the fifth verse. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 5. Paul here writing, he says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. Now I want you to notice this, doing the will of God from the heart. How many wants to do the will of God from the heart?
Amen.
Now notice this, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. We ask Lord this evening to bless the reading of his word as you can have your seats here this afternoon. I want you, by the help of the Lord, for just a few moments tonight, if I would take a title, I want to speak to you on this, doing the will of God. I've been a bit of a series there at home speaking on your reasonable service there for Romans 12, and I just, this fell on my heart tonight, and I want to maybe pull it out here and speak to you for just a few moments here on doing the will of God. I believe tonight that knowing the will of God is one thing, amen, but I believe doing the will of God is another. I believe it's important to know the will of God, but I believe it's important, or more important, amen, to know and to do the will of God. Now, Brother Bram will say in the believer's position in Christ, he said, now, when you have a call from God, that doesn't altogether mean that you just jump right out and you're doing the will of God. He said, you have to find the will of God, and you have to find the time of God to do it. So God has a will, and God has a time for that will to be fulfilled. Again, he would say, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that the Son can do nothing in himself, but what the Father shows me. Now, what I see the Father doing, the Father shows me, then I go and do it. But I'm saying, in other words, amen, Jesus done nothing in himself until he saw, amen, a vision of what the Father said to do. Then he went and done it. He said, that's Christianity, amen, is doing the will of God. I think that's powerful. Amen. That the prophet of God would actually define, amen, the entirety of Christianity. Amen, is doing the will of God. Again, in by faith Moses, he said, see, the real inspiration comes, amen, by doing the will of God. See, whether it's just one or just a handful, whether it's a big church or a small church, it matters not. Whether he is a great eloquent speaker or just a man that hardly knows his ABCs, it doesn't matter. Amen, it depends on the message that he's bringing. Amen, whether it's inspired by the word of God, amen, or it is inspired by intellectuals' conceptions of human inspiration. Amen. So there is a human inspiration, amen, and then there is a divine inspiration. And he said some people can be inspired because of an eloquent speaker, or they can be inspired because some man is trained. He said, now that doesn't mean it's of God. Amen. It's only through God's everlasting, eternal, amen, blessed word we can receive inspiration, and that is given by the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I think it's powerful how the prophet will be speaking, amen, of the prophets in the Old Testament. And he'll say, now, they were God's servants. Amen. They were doing the will of God. Isn't that powerful? Amen. They were not just walking around boasting about the fact they knew the will of God. Amen. But they were doing the will of God. He said they were doing the service of God. Amen. And therefore, they were misunderstood. Now, it's a powerful point here. He says anybody that follows God is misunderstood.
That's
Amen. Jesus, our Lord, when his birth, amen, he was misunderstood. Jesus on the cross, y'all remember when he's hanging there on the cross and the critics, amen, are watching him hang on the cross and they scream out those words, if you be the Son of God, amen, then bring yourself down off the cross. But Rebbe said, now watch what Satan said. He said, that can't be the Son of God. It just can't be. If it was the Son of God, he wouldn't put up with that. He said, but sons of God, how many sons and daughters of God have I got here tonight? He said, sons of God, amen, put up with anything as long as they are knowing they're doing the will of God. Amen. Amen. Then that's where your strength is coming from. Amen. To keep on believing and keep on persevering.
Yes.
It's because you don't just know, amen, the will of God, but there is something that has been quickened in your heart to do the will of God. Now, when I think there in Romans 12, if it's okay, I want to share it to you from the Amplified Bible. In Romans 12 and verse 1, it says, therefore, amen, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, amen, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God.
Amen.
Now listen, which is your rational, amen, logical, intelligent act of worship. Amen. So right. Your reasonable service then, amen, is your rational, logical, intelligent, amen, act of worship. Now look at verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed, amen, and listen, and progressively changed, amen, as you mature spiritually.
Amen.
The renewing of your mind, focusing, amen, on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves, amen, what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable, amen, and perfect in his plan and his purpose for you. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, God has a plan, amen, and God has a purpose for every one of his children. Amen. I think it's powerful how Paul, amen, will say we are transformed. And then in that translation, it says we are transformed, amen, and progressively changed, amen, as you are maturing spiritually. Now, in things that are to be, amen, the prophet of God said, amen, you had a birth, right? Amen. But then you grew from that birth.
Amen.
When you was born and presented into this world, he said God knew that you were going to be here, amen, in this earth. And you growed from birth to maturity. Amen. Things that seem strange to you, amen, in your young womanhood, in your young boyhood, amen, as children, it now seems very real. He said you couldn't understand it when you was a child, amen, but now as you become an adult, amen, you begin to understand and find out that everything was just set just right. It really means something to you now. He said so it is in your spiritual birth. He said you do things. Somebody say do things.
Do things.
You do things that you don't understand. When you were a little baby, come to the altar, you give your life to Christ, you do strange things. Amen. You wonder why you did it. But after a while, when you mature as matured Christians, amen, then you understand it. Amen. Now don't ever forget that there is a birth, amen, and then there is an adoption coming to that birth. Amen. We're not just to be born and to remain babes in Christ. Amen. But Paul said, we would grow up in him and that we would be able to receive, amen, the meat of the word of God. Now, amen, I'll say this,
amen,
there's only one way, amen, that a baby can go from infancy to maturity.
Right.
You know how that is? He cannot buy his way from infancy to maturity.
No.
He cannot shout his way from infancy to maturity. There's only one way to go from infancy into maturity, and that is to be willing to learn.
Amen.
Now, I know that's a, amen, that's not a shout point, but it's a truth.
Right.
For God said, we got to come sanely and sound to God. And when we come without any malice, any prejudice, with an open heart, he said, willing to learn. Now listen, amen, God is able to teach when we are willing to learn. God is able to teach
Amen.
We are willing to learn. He said, but we must first lay aside tradition. How many wants to do that?
Amen.
We must lay aside tradition. We must lay aside ideas, amen, that we have been taught. Now, I think it's powerful the prophet identifies something. Amen. You can be taught something, and what you've been taught can be stunning your growth. Amen. But if you can lay it aside and come back to the original teacher, which is the Spirit of truth, and have an open heart, he will begin to learn. You will begin to grow from infancy to maturity. Amen. Now there's a big difference here, amen, in a baby and an adult, right? Amen. A baby has no responsibility. Amen. A baby has no pressures. Amen. Amen. But an adult, you probably heard me use the example before, but I'll just use it again. Amen. I'll tell you the difference in a child and a man. You know, Paul said the time would come that we would lay aside childish things, right?
Right.
And we would put on, or we would become men in Christ. Now, you take a child. That child wakes up on, say, Monday morning, and he's got a little sniffle in the nose and a little sore throat, and he don't feel the best. Well, he'll just go in there and tell Mama, I'm not going to go to school. And she'll call down the schoolhouse and say, Junior's not coming in. Amen. He don't feel well, and he'll go back to bed. Amen. Now what is resting on his shoulders? He might miss a lesson. He might miss playtime. He might miss a lunch or something. Amen. But you take a man that wakes up on Monday morning with the sniffles and the sore throat. Amen. He can't just go lay down. Amen. Because there's a house payment resting.
Yes.
There's miles to be paid. There's bills to be paid. Amen. Do you see the difference in childhood and maturity? Is when you're able to accept the responsibility and to do what God has called you to do.
Amen.
It's time. Amen. That we get to mature sons and daughters of God. Amen. That said, I don't just want to walk around and say, I know the will of God. I want to walk as a son of God, as a daughter of God. Amen. Manifesting the will of God.
Amen.
In the age that I'm living in.
Amen.
I just want to walk around. Amen. And talk about knowing the God that heals. Amen. Thank you, Brother Jack. Amen. But I want to stand as a witness. Amen. As one who has done, amen, the will of God. Amen. I think it's powerful that Matthew, the 24th chapter and the 46th verse, Jesus said these words. He said, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Amen. Look at this word doing. It means to act rightly. It means to do well. It means to carry out, to execute. In 1961, the prophet of God said, and we are his servants, amen, and are carrying out his commission. Again in 62, he said, and we're only carrying out his wishes. All right. And his commandments. Wow. I think it's powerful. When Brother Man preaches God's power to transform, in paragraph 256, he says, oh, wandering sons, deformed by the creepers of this earth, wandering sisters at the places and fashions of this world, amen, has drawn you. And sister dear, you might consider me an old crank, but one of these days when you meet what Florence Sicarian met the other night, she sat in this room, in this place, as you know, when you meet that, you will find out that not me, but this word is right. He said, keep out of those barber shops. Amen. Keep out of those fashion shops. Keep out of those things. You say, why don't you teach them great things? How to be this? He said, just start with your ABCs, and then we'll come to algebra. See, just start learning, which is your reasonable service. Now, I think it's powerful. Amen. We got people walking around, amen, that knows the will of God on how a woman ought to dress. Right. Amen. And they're painting their nails and painting their faces. Well, we might as well preach right here.
Come on.
Men walking around. Amen. Says we know the will of God. We know the mysteries of God. Amen. And can't even provide for their families. And I don't mean to get ugly, but I'm just preaching something.
Come on. Preach.
Amen. It's an age where men have laid aside responsibility.
Right.
Amen. And women Come are on. Having to do the praying. And women are having through the fasting. Amen.
Wow.
I think it's time to come back. Amen. To the old landmark of the Bible. Amen. It's not enough just to know the will of God for a home. You've got to raise up and do the will of God for that home. Yes, sir. Just do your reasonable service. I love what the prophet said. He said, and God will take care of the rest of it. Amen. Just do. Amen. Just reason the thing. things, amen, that you can reason out and do it. Now, I want to say this very plainly. What is reasonable to God, amen, is unreasonable to the world. And what is reasonable to the world is unreasonable to God. Now, I think it's powerful that another word for reasonable is actually acceptable. In other words, Paul is saying that your service, amen, would be acceptable. How many wants to say, Lord, I want to do your will, but I want it to be accepted. I don't just want to do something,
amen,
amen, but I want what, yes, I'm, Lord, doing to be accepted.
Yes, Lord.
I'm saying this word service. It is the service and worship of God, amen, according to the requirements of the Levitical law, which was to perform, amen, sacred services. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and 5, you know this verse by heart. Peter says, ye also, amen, as lively stones. How many lively stones have we got here?
Amen.
Are built up a spiritual house, amen, and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Now, watch what Peter says. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Brown comes along and says, go back to Cain and Abel. He said Cain worshipped. He built an altar. He sacrificed. He worshipped God. Now, was he doing something? He was, but that wasn't enough. It was beautiful. He said, now as soon as Easter comes across the nation, there will be millions of dollars spent for Easter flowers, and they'll lay them on the altar. He said, well, God don't care about that Easter flower on the altar. He wants you on the altar. Amen. You're the person for the altar. Amen. The altar's not for your flower, folks. Amen. The altar's not for your money. Amen. He wants you. Now, here's a prophet. The altar was built for you to sacrifice your own will to his will. Amen. The altar was built for a son or a daughter of God to sacrifice, amen, their own will, their own ambitions, amen, their own agendas to the will of God. Amen. I think it's powerful. He said, now look what Cain done. He said, now that's why many full gospel churches coming right into the same thing. They want to build a little better church or put a few thousand dollars in a pipe organ. Listen, that doesn't bring God in. Amen. That might bring people. But you say, preacher, then what brings God into an assembly? Brother Ben said, self-sacrifice brings God in to the will of God. Now that's a heavy one. Y'all, I'm sorry, I know it's Wednesday night and I'm preaching at you, but I feel an atmosphere. Amen. But let me say this. Sacrifice is what brings God into the will of God. Now, I love what David says in Psalms 19:14. He says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. Look what he says. Lord, let them be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord.
Yes.
Amen. My strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Then to be acceptable in the sight of God is to be acceptable in the presence of God. Amen. Now look, when you are accepted in the sight of God, it opens a door for,
amen,
you into the presence of God. And you know what David said? He said, in thy presence is the fullness of joy. Amen. Self-sacrifice will literally bring the presence of God into an assembly, and by that sacrifice, it'll open a door for you to step into joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen.
When I think about this, how can I not think of Brother Graham's sermon on trying to do God a service without being the will of God? He goes to 1 Chronicles 13 and he says, do you see King David? Amen. He's bringing the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. Now that was the right thing, right?
Right.
He was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back, amen, to Jerusalem.
Right.
He said, now watch. It was a pure motive, but a wrong method. Amen. Paraphrasing, David didn't follow, amen, God's instructions. Amen. Now, God's instructions or God's method, amen, was that the Levites would carry, amen, the ark on their shoulders.
All right. Amen.
His intentions were good. Amen. But God does not give us merits on good intentions.
Yeah.
There is only,
that's right,
one,
that's
way,
right,
to serve God. Listen, there's only one way to serve God, and that's by doing his will at his command.
Amen.
God being sovereign, there is no one to tell him what to do or how to do it. He does the the way he knows is right. He said, now there's one great thing again about God. He has not left us now without knowing what's the truth and how to do it.
Right.
And then God has not left us here without knowing his will and knowing how to fulfill or bring right. to pass his will.
Amen.
And God that speaks. How many believes God speaks?
Amen.
He speaks the word and then he expects his children to believe it.
Right.
And therefore
right.
he knows what's best. And when we do it and how to do it, we have our ideas of it, but he knows. Amen. Now listen, we notice God then, amen, will reveal his word in his own predestinated season. Rabbi said, how, amen, could the Pentecostals know this message? Amen. See, he reveals it in his seasons because it's a seed. Are y'all ready for this? And as it grows, as it grows
come on.
And matures, he reveals himself. Come on, church.
Amen.
That baby might look like his father, but he does not begin to reveal his father's characteristics until he comes to maturity. Amen. I want to tell
Amen.
You tonight, there is a seed on the inside of your soul.
Amen.
And it was put there from before the foundation of the world. It
Amen.
Was not put there to be a billboard of puffed up knowledge. It was put there to be sacrificed. Amen. To the will of God, that you would be a direct reflection on earth of your Father's will from heaven.
Amen.
My, think about it. There's a seed in you. And as that seed begins to grow, it begins to mature. And as it begins to mature, God begins to reveal himself.
Amen.
All right. Amen.
I was at 2 hours on that.
Come on.
As that seed begins to grow, it begins to mature. And through the maturing of the seed, God begins to reveal himself.
Amen.
He said, now like the heat of the sun to open up when it's tender and young, bring it out of the ground, the seed, then give it its leaves. It's another stage of the sun. Hot sun will kill it if it's the ripening time. So he regulates the sun and regulates nature to meet his word. He regulates the church, the predestinated, the bride, to meet the season that they are living in. Now, I think this is powerful that God reveals this word in the season.
All right.
Right.
Now watch this, and to whom he chooses to reveal it to.
Right.
Now look here, God chose who he reveals it to. Now when did he choose it, Brother Jack? He chose that before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Now watch this. So no matter how much we think a certain person is qualified to do a certain job, God knows who is qualified for the time and the season. Are you ready for this? Or the right time to do it.
Right.
Listen,
Amen.
Watch what a prophet says. No matter how sincere or what good motives or what are good objectives, how people want those things and see the need of it, there is a will of God, direct quote, there is a will of God to be carried out in these things.
Right.
So it's not just doing something, but it's carrying out the will of God
right.
in what you're doing.
Amen.
Anybody can sing a song, but I want to carry out the will of God
Amen.
In the song that I'm singing.
Amen.
Anybody can preach a sermon, but I want to carry out the will of God in the sermon I'm
preaching. Amen.
Anybody can build a church, but I want to build a church that'll carry out the will of God for the season that church is being built in.
Amen.
I might as well preach out here. And I want to tell the devil in hell, there is nothing he can do to defeat the will of God or the season of God or the time of God. Come on, I tell you tonight, spirit truth. You may think that sometimes that God has forgot about you, and amen, you don't have this, you don't have a building, and you're having to be here. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, amen, there's a lot of churches that had a lot more than you had, and they started out. Amen. But where are they tonight? Amen. But here you are, and you're still together, and you're still believing, and you're still persevering. You know why?
Amen.
Because there's a seed on the inside of your soul, and there's a will of God to be revealed to the seed that's in the pride of spirit and true tabernacle. And there ain't enough devils in hell that'll defeat this church. She will prevail because God is bringing her into maturity. Now, when I think about it, I'm not just here having a service. I'm manifesting the will of God.
Amen.
Amen.
There's a will of God to be carried out in these things. Now, Hebrews 11 says it beautiful. Paul says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. You know where a lot of people get in trouble? Is they leave the will of God and start trying to please men. But look what Paul said. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now look what the prophet of God says. He says, the only way for you to please God is to obey him.
Right.
Now that's pretty clear, folks.
Right.
The only way to please God is to obey him. They that come to God must believe. Mm-hmm. Now I got a question for you. What is faith? Right. We talk about faith. We sing about faith. We preach about faith. But what is faith? The prophet of God said faith is something that is revealed to you. That is not yet, but you believe it will be. Right. Amen. Faith is a revelation of the will of God. Right. So faith is not an emotion, saints. Yeah. Amen. Faith is not a sensation. Yeah. Amen. Faith is a revelation of the will of God. Amen. He said in the churches today, they don't even believe in spiritual revelation. They believe in a dogmatic teaching of some system. But by revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, which God testified he was righteous. Again, now faith is a revelation from God.
Right.
Faith is a revelation. It's a revelation. He has revealed it to you by his grace. Amen. Listen, it's nothing you did. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, preacher, your sermon is on doing the will of God, and here you're saying there's nothing I can do to receive the faith, which is the revelation of the will of God. He said you didn't work yourself up into faith. If you ever have faith, it's given to you by the grace of God. Now, I want to say this to you. You didn't do nothing to get it. You didn't do nothing to get it, but once you got it, it'll cause you to do something. Are you hearing me? You didn't do nothing to get it, but once you got it, it'll cause you to do something. What's it going to cause you to do? It's going to cause you to do your reasonable service. He said, see, you'll find some, and they're all good people. We'll say, there's some of them that's trying hard to believe it. They're trying to work themselves into it. Just some can't do it at all. And others, it's just by grace. It's just given to them. Now there is the difference. Now let's separate the church from the bride. Is that okay? He says, now the church, the bride, are you ready for this? The rapture is a revelation to her. It's revealed to her. That's the revelation. The true bride of Christ will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture. Listen, the true bride of Christ will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture. Now, I don't have time to go into it, amen, but if you study the rapture sermon, amen, a lot of guys love to inject themselves there and say, now see, that bride's waiting for that revelation. Abraham's got to come back, and he's got to set up a tent, and he's got to ride a white horse out of the west. Amen. Let's turn a few pages over, and he'll say, now here is the revelation of the rapture. And he turns to 1 Thessalonians 4 and begins to show you that there will be a shout, which will be a message, which will be the living bread, which will bring forth a bride for Christ. He said, then there will be a voice, which is the voice of resurrection. Oh, but don't stop there. Amen. Then there will be a trumpet. Come on, folks. Amen. Let me say it as plain as I know how. Our reasonable service is to meet God's requirements. You say, why are you saying that? Amen. Because when it comes to you doing something, or when it comes to the will of God coming to pass, there's two parts to be done. Are you with me? There's your part and there's God's part. Listen, God has done his part. Listen, we are not waiting for the revelation of the rapture. The revelation is already here. The power of God is already returned. The presence of God has already been recognized, has already been identified. Hey, hear me tonight. But I'm coming to the end of this message, and he said, there's only one thing I can see between her and the rapture is to lay in the presence of the Son, is the readiness of the church.
All right.
So, Brother Jack, it wasn't the readiness of God. The revelation's already here. Now, I'm just gonna preach to you tonight. Is that okay? Amen. What are you doing with it?
All right.
It's here. What are you doing with it? Amen. I'll tell you what Paul said in Colossians 3:23. He said, whatsoever you do, do it heartily.
All right.
Praise God.
Now, don't get mad at me, but do you give your all in every service you come to? Can you stop right now and say, from the time this service started until this point in the meeting, I've given my all.
Come on.
Everything I've done in this service, I've done it heartily.
All right.
As to the Lord and not unto men. Look here in 1 Timothy 4:15. He says, meditate upon these things. Look here. Here's your part. Give thyself. Brother Jack, give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to all. Listen, we don't have to ask you if you're laying in the presence of the Son. We can see it by the maturity that's being reflected out of the seed that's in your soul to manifest the Word in the season you're living in. Look what James 4:17 says. He says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good. There we are again, knowing the will of God. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, folks, we can get all tore up about somebody cutting their hair or going to the movies or going to drink a beer or adultery. Amen. Whatever we can narrow all of it down. But you know what a prophet said? He said a prophet said sin is unbelief.
Right.
He said smoking's not sin. He said drinking is not sin. He said sin is unbelief. He said the smoking is the attribute of the sin.
Amen.
Come on, church. If there are people on the earth, you say, Brother Andrew, what is sin? Thank you for asking me. Brother M said this. He said, sin is rejecting the revealed will of God.
Yeah.
If there is a people who can know the revealed will of God and can reject it and can become a billboard for the attributes of unbelief, then what about the little faith woman? What about that little elected lady who can receive the revealed will of God and she will become a living manifestation of the attributes of faith in her generation?
Amen.
My, I'm sorry, I'm feeling good tonight.
Come on.
Amen.
Paul said in Hebrews 10:26, he said, if we sin willfully,
come on,
after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Now, I just want to lay some quotes out to you. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Brother says, after we have a knowledge of the truth, what we ought to do, and then we won't do it, we can't go no farther with God until we do it.
Right.
See, God just presents something to us that we should stop this type of life. We should quit living for the world and professing to be Christians, and we'll continue right on out in that same thing. Then we can't go no further with God. He said the place that it's done been revealed to us, so we got to stop right there until we make that thing right and then go on with God. For now, listen, for then is when we are back in the grace again. Now, church, amen, sometimes the trouble is coming not from what you're doing, but from what you're not doing. Are you with me? Brother said, Brother, I don't do nothing. He said, maybe that's what's the matter.
Wow.
That's the trouble of it. Listen,
amen.
It's more sin not to do than it is to do when you know to do better.
Right.
Listen, y'all remember the prophet of God said, General Grant. He said he had a soldier boy, and that soldier boy was on guard duty. And he said, he was out there, and he said the rebels were across the river. Y'all remember the story? And he said that little boy, he got to walking around, and Brother Solomon, he got in a daze. He was picking flowers, amen, because he was dreaming about his sweetheart that was back home. Brother said, now watch. He said, now listen, he left his post of duty to pick the violets. He didn't mean to do no wrong. Amen. That at that time, there was a spy that came in, amen, and wiped out two or three times the size of General Grant's army. He said, well, what happened? The boy came back on the post of duty. not knowing what had happened, but the spy had already been there. And what happened? They stormed across the river, drove them plumb back up into the state, and that boy was shot an hour later.
Wow.
Listen, they didn't have no objection to him picking the violence. It wasn't what he had done. It was the thing he didn't do.
Right.
Now, come on. Amen. You say, well, I'm tired of Brother Jack. Amen. All the time preaching on me for going on vacation. Well, he's not preaching on you for going on vacation. He's preaching because you're leaving things undone that you think vacation's going to fix.
Wow.
Come on,
say that again.
I've been around a few days. I've seen it. I've seen people get in bad situations, and then all of a sudden, when all the pressure's on and all the trouble's stirring, they pack up and go to Disney World, or pack up, go to the beach, or miss church for a month. Listen, when the battle is hot and heavy, when the heat is on, that ain't the time to pack up and run to the ocean. That's the time to run to the Christ, run to the altar, and let the power of God fix the problem. Listen, is this okay, Brother Jack?
Yes.
We ain't preaching against vacation. We're saying get the thing fixed and then go on to vacation.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Right. Oh, God, I remember one time I was a pastor called and he's having a situation. He's talking to me. And I said, well, funny thing is, brother, I said, that brother just reached out to me and he's wanting to talk to me. And I said, I was fishing to call you. I said, because I wouldn't know if I had your permission to talk to him. He said, Brother Andrew, talk to him. By all means, do what you can to help him. So I met with the brother and I'm sitting there and he starts telling me, you know, well, the pastor's done this and the pastor's done that and the pastor's done this and the pastor's done that. And I finally just stopped him a second. And I said, well, what are you going to do?
Come on.
What are you going to do? He said, well, I'm just going to go over here to this church for a while. And he said, I'm going to take a break. He said, and I'll come back when I think things are good. I said, so when did we start taking breaks?
Come on,
church.
Come on.
There wouldn't be a Spirit of Truth Tabernacle if Jack Duff took a break every time something went wrong.
Come on. Amen.
I'm just preaching. There wouldn't be a church here if the preacher, amen, just packed up and went on vacation at every little problem and every little trouble that come through. Listen, if you're packing up and running, it's because you've not come to maturity. But if you've grown from infancy to maturity, then you will stand in the middle of the battle under the presence of the correction of the Son of God and say, Lord, break all the greenness out. I don't want to be a baby. I want to be a mature son and daughter of God.
Right. Amen.
It wasn't what he done. It was what he didn't do.
Right.
Now, he didn't stand on his post of duty. He didn't guard the post like he was supposed to.
Right.
Now, I just got to be honest with you folks. And y'all just give me some grace tonight. I found that when trouble arises, people just automatically become spiritually lazy. Oh, y'all ever seen that? They just become spiritual lazy. And I got to look in the Bible, and y'all forgive me, but in Proverbs 13:4, the Bible says the soul of the sluggard. Now, I looked up that word sluggard. It means lazy. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat.
Yes,
now you know what that word fat means? It means to become prosperous.
Amen.
Listen, the soul of a lazy man will desire for victory and will never receive it. But the soul of a diligent son and daughter of God who has had a birth and is being transformed by the renewing of their mind into the maturity of the sons and daughters of God, they will become fat. Amen. They will become spiritually fat. They will become prosperous. Oh, I want to tell you tonight, that's the reason you're prospering. That's the reason you're overcoming.
Amen.
Because you found that there's more than
just
sound. There's more than just dancing. There's more than just emotion. But there's some battles to be fought. There's some victories to be won. Listen. Come on.
Come on.
Where does growth come from? It comes in the valleys.
Amen.
It comes in the valleys.
Right.
Now, I found this in the New Testament. You know what Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:13? He's speaking about women and young ladies. And he says, now, and withal, they learn to be idle. Mm. Now, Y'all forgive me. Sometimes we'll be riding down the road and we'll be listening to Brother Jack or Brother Smiley preaching here. I'll hear Brother Smiley sometimes just say, I feel the preacher coming on, or I feel my help coming on. They learn to be idle. Now do you realize you don't just become idle?
Wow. Wow.
Bring it down to street terms. You don't just become lazy.
Right.
You learn to be lazy. Look what Paul said. He said they learn. That word learn means to learn by use and practice. To be in the habit of. To become accustomed to. Listen, they learn to be idle. Look at this word idle. It means free from labor. It means at leisure. They're lazy. Now this is I may need to hide on this one. They're shunning the labor which one ought to perform.
Wow.
Look what they're doing. They're wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers also. And busybodies. Amen. Speaking things that they ought not. Now listen here, folks. We don't have to put that 50 years ago from one house to another. It's called Facebook today.
Wow.
It's called Facebook. It's called somebody says a little something to them at church on the parking lot. And they didn't like what they said.
Yeah.
So they go home and they write this long Facebook post.
Yeah.
And they get everybody in the church all wondering who hurt them and who offended them.
Yeah.
And before long, they got a whole troop.
Yeah.
Amen. I'll tell you what that is. That's called lazy.
Wow. Yeah. Come on.
You're shunning from the labor that you ought to do to fix it.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to go home and type it up on the computer than it is to walk over there and say, sister, what did you mean by what you said? Jack, was you aiming that at me? Do you see?
Come on. Come on.
But it's an age of laziness. Look what he says. They will shun the labor which one ought to perform.
Wow.
My goodness. I will therefore that the young women marry and bear children and guide the house and give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Now, look what Brother Bram says. He says our home life is in a crisis. He said it seems like the home life is running out in the shallow water. It used to be in the home, the father, the head of the house, would sit down in the morning. He would speak with his family. They would all take out the old family Bible. I pray this is okay.
Yes, come on.
They would read just a little bit and all gather around the table and have prayer. You don't see that no more. When the day was done, Ma had the dishes washed, and they all gather in, and they read some more of the Bible, and they prayed before going to bed. He said, now listen, juvenile delinquency certainly was a hard thing to find in them days. He said the boys all went to the fields to work. Now, I know, folks, that this is old fogey and old-fashioned. Amen. But a prophet actually said that young boys used to get up before 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
All right. Yeah. Come on. Come on.
Come on. And they followed in their father's footsteps, and they went to work. You know what else he said? And the girls helped Mom with the washing down at the creek. Amen. They didn't lay in bed till 5 o'clock and roll out and come downstairs and see what they could find in the refrigerator. No, there was a family value.
Right.
Come on, church. I think there's more to being message believers.
Right.
Just walking around saying we got the revelation, the mystery. I think it ought to bring a reflection of the divine nature of the prophet and what the Bible said a home ought to look like. Y'all, I'm just preaching, okay? He said, but today we just push a little button and the dishes are all done. And Ma's in the car and gone to the car party, ratting around over the streets, and work's done by a tractor, and we don't have nothing but just a bunch of lazy
idle people.
Idle people.
Wow.
And home life is so neglected till the Bible is laid back till they would have to hunt for an hour to find one in many homes in America.
Wow.
Folks, that's your prophet. That's my prophet's words. But it's a trick of the devil, because the devil knows if he can break the house, he can break the church house.
Right. Right. Amen.
I don't care how many members you got. Amen. The strength of the church is only made up by the strength of the families that is a part of that church.
Amen.
Jack, I hope I'm not overstepping my bounds. I'm just preaching. Are you hearing me? Amen. But what it is, it's a new cart idea.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
That's the problem with David, was they were trying to bring the word back on a new cart, but God didn't want a new cart. He wanted the old-fashioned way. And I tell you tonight, the world is trying to raise our babies on a new cart religion. They're trying to establish our marriages on a new cart religion.
Wow.
I say, God, give us an old-fashioned.
Amen.
Say, if I'm laughed at, if I'm made fun of, I'm going to follow in the proven way.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Like a boy told me not long ago, he said, Brother Andrew, I'm just preaching. He said, Brother Andrew, he said, there's just something about these message girls. I just can't get one. He said, well, how old are you? He said, well, I'm 19. I said, where do you work?
That's right.
He said, oh, I don't have a job.
Oh, no.
I said, oh. I said, who are you after? He said, well, I like that sister there. I said, do you realize she's done completed college?
All right.
Wow. Come on.
I remember as a young preacher sitting in the truck with Jewel 40 years ago. I remember just a young preacher sitting in the truck with Brother Jewel. And Brother Jewel looked over at me and he said, Andrew, he said, I'm going to tell you the problem is, he said, the spirit of independence, I hope I'm not getting out.
Come on.
He said, the spirit of independence is creeping in around the ranks of this message. And he said, it won't be many more days and our young girls will get so justified in their career and their house and their car that they won't need a man. And as a young preacher, I thought Brother Jewel, what are you talking about? But here we are 15 years down the road, and I'm looking at the materialization of what the man of God said years ago. You know why? Because it's America's way. America has torn down the role of a man and has built up the role of a woman until they have crossed the roles, and now boys don't know if they're boys, and girls don't know if they're girls.
Come on.
Oh, but in the last stage,
come on.
God planted a seed in the soul of the bride of Jesus Christ, who would reflect the will of God concerning the home.
Yes, sir.
Amen. 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 Said, look, just like a husband takes a wife and says, if you'll be a good woman, if you'll. Now, I know we can preach on the men not working and not take care of things, but let's take another quote of a prophet.
All right.
Just like a husband taking a wife and saying, if you'll be a good woman, if you'll take care of the house, if you'll be true to me, if you'll keep my clothes clean, if we have children, you'll be a mother to them. If you'll do these things, I'll work till my hands bleed to make you a living if you'll do it. But then think, what if that woman turns out wrong? Now listen, lives lazy.
Come on.
Brother Brandon, pretty straight, wasn't he?
Come on, yeah.
Won't work, won't do nothing. Then it takes grace to keep that family together.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why my husband don't want to come home, and I don't know why he always comes home with an attitude. Well, if he comes home and the floors in his living room is dirtier than the floors he worked on all day.
Wow.
See, but the spirit of the new car has come in to reject the revealed will of God. Folks, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be honest. It's time we realize this message has come to restore the structure of a home, of a father, of a husband, of a wife, of a mother, of a child. Listen, I'm old enough to remember when mama and daddy told babies we were going to church, and babies didn't tell mama and daddy we're going to the ball game.
All right.
All right.
But the new car has come in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when that happens, then the devil just opens up a whole other channel and says, well, if the statistics of marriage is falling apart, and I'm a young person, then why even try to get married?
Right.
Come on.
The prophet God said, he said, the fear of failure. Listen to this. He said, we find that God called Moses. He called him to go and do his service. Listen, all the failures and mistakes Moses had, he said, now listen, he seen that God was with Joshua. Come on, when Joshua seen that God, rather, when
come on.
When Joshua seen that no matter the mistakes that Moses made and the failures and the blunders, God stayed with him.
Amen.
You know what that done? That released a confidence in Moses. Now, I just want to say this to you. Amen. Because God gives us elders in assemblies. They're not just there to be there.
Right.
You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, mark the upright one and follow in their example. Y'all ever notice? You can have a Holy Ghost filled woman in church for 50 years, 60 years, never cuts her hair, never looks like the world, sings, prays, has a sweet spirit, and there'll be 15 young girls, and they'll never one time try to live that life.
Wow.
But you let another elder sister come in with some nail polish on, or some high heels, or some makeup or lipstick, and then every young girl will start patterning that. You know why? Amen. Because it's in the nature of this world to pattern the wrong. I want to say this. Our elders are not here just to be set on the sidelines. We all go to them and say, listen, I want to know. I want you to teach me how.
Come on.
I told our church back home the other night, I said, we got probably, I don't know, probably 10 or 11 young married couples with kids. And I said, God bless you. Amen. You know why? Amen. Because they don't let things keep them out of the house of God.
Come on.
I just say this. Y'all may know, I don't mean to open up about our church, but it's just here. I was preaching there, and I saw Brother Joe Reynolds and Sister Mandy Reynolds sitting over there on the side of the church. And I said, when the going gets hard, I said, rather than taking the new cart way and pulling in the towel marriage, won't you young couples go over there and say, Brother Joe, tell us how that you got through it. Sister Mandy, how did you all get through it when you buried that little boy years ago? How did you get through it a few years ago, Brother Joe, when you saw your baby laying dead in a car wreck? Amen. Listen, marriage is not all blissful all the time. Amen. But the strength of a marriage is because God... I want to say it as plain as I know how. God has received or has revealed a seed in your soul, and that seed is there to restore the structure.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. Brother Bim said this. Don't you let that. I'm moving on, okay?
Breathe.
He will say, well, he said, I'm afraid God will leave me. I don't have much confidence, but I'm too afraid to try. Now, these are Brother Bim's words. I'd rather be found a failure. Mm-hmm. Oh, Solomon, am I reading this right? Mm-hmm. I'd rather be found a failure than too lazy to try.
Yes, sir. Come on now.
Yes, sir. Now, can I bring this to a point tonight? Overcomers are not lazy. You know what the prophet of God said? He said, you take a Christian, supposed to be a Christian. He said, you let the life of God go from him and the experience. And the joy of serving Christ and living in a church where such is going on, he rottens twice as quick. Right, living right there. So if we are trying to follow the message of the hour, or at least this part of the message, we should live constantly in the life of Christ. See? Because if it don't, you lay around and you know that these things you're supposed to do and you don't do it. The Bible said, he that knoweth to do good doeth not to him is sin. Then you become dody. You become rotten when you're separated from the life of God. Now here it is. So strive with all that's in you to stay in the life of Christ that you be fruit bearing. Remember, I said, what is it? I'm going somewhere, okay?
Right.
He said, it's a promise. God made the promise. If everything comes lazy, then what are you overcoming? They overcome by the word of God. Listen, you got to overcome something. You got to have some obstacles.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And it amazed me. You know, people say, well, that couple made it. They had it so easy. You don't know the obstacles they went through.
Right. Right. Amen.
Amen.
Come on. Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, God.
That's right. Amen.
That's true. We'll move on. Okay. People that differ with you and fuss with you and tell you holy rosary things, it's a trial. If you haven't got that, you're not even in the battle. Can I say this to you? But overcomers are winners. Can I say this? And winners are not lazy. But we're living in a generation where everybody is a winner. I'm closing right here, okay? Everybody is a winner. You know, put no work in. Stay up half an hour playing video games. Don't run. Don't exercise. Don't condition. Eat Krispy Kreme all the time. Eat McDonald's. And show up and try to run the ball. And oh, you're a winner. Y'all know I'm telling the truth.
Come on.
Listen, put no work or effort in and get the same reward as someone who put their whole heart in it.
Right.
Now listen, they may hand out participation trophies in Laodicea, but there'll be no participation trophies at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Paul said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. Listen, so run that you may obtain. You know what Paul said? He said, I lay down, cross my arms, kick my feet up, drink a cup of coffee towards the mark of the prize. I press.
Yes. Amen.
I press over obstacles.
Yes.
Kind of like, oh God, I'm getting trouble. It's kind of like the reason church attendance has gotten so lazy. Just stay home and push play.
Come on. Come on.
There's no obstacles. There's nobody going to get you a seat in your living room, buddy. There's nobody going to get your parking spot in the parking lot, sis. But if you're going to come to church.
Come to church.
I didn't read it, but it's Hebrews 10:25 right above Hebrews 10:26. Forsake not the assembly.
Right.
Amen.
Together. And then Paul says, and then there remained no more sacrifice to him that knoweth to do good.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's an age, and I don't want to sound like I'm beating on you.
It's all right.
It's an age where laziness has taken over. Look what the Bible says, but overcomers have something to do. I want you to catch this right here. He that overcometh shall. Somebody say shall.
Shall.
Inherit.
Inherit.
All things.
All things.
I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Listen, so many says, if the Lord will take this evil spirit from me, from drinking or from gambling or from lying or stealing, I'll serve him. Brother Bram said, that's up to you. See, you got to do something too. They that overcome shall inherit all things. They that overcome, you have power to do it. Brother Andy, I just tell you, if God will just take this depression away from me, if God will just take this depression away, if he'll just take it away, well, try getting up and raising the shades in the living room.
Come on. Wow. Come on.
Right. It ain't neat, folks. Yeah. Resist that devil.
Right.
Come on. Remember, Birdman said that. I'm getting... And they lay on his bed dying, and they pulled the shades down and begin to sing them old mournful dead songs. Yeah, he rose up off his deathbed and said, hey, who's dying? Me or you? He said, raise up them curtains and sing some happy gospel songs.
Amen.
Oh, church, I tell you what, you want to whip a devil?
Come on.
Raise up them curtains.
Amen.
Sunlight of the presence of God. Let the presence, come on, amen, spiritually, amen, raise up them curtains tonight and quit focusing on all the negative. Quit focusing on all the negative talk and all the negative news report. Listen, God has raised you up for a purpose. Spirit and truth, he raised you up for a purpose. And there's a seed inside of you. You see, God cannot just push you through a little pipe and pull you out on the other end and say, blessed is he that overcometh. You have nothing to overcome. You just push through, but you got to make decisions for yourself.
Yes,
sir. If I had to make decisions for myself, and so we show our faith and respects to God. Listen, Birmingham says it beautiful. He said, God have mercy on these lazy hearted Christians. Become no good. Here it is. Know so much about it and tell so little to other people.
Wow.
Listen, as our musicians are coming. Laodicean age is loose, folks. It's lazy. It's soft. Remember, said this happy-go-lucky, joking, sinful age of lust we're living in now. It's a wonder God don't just say, step back, church, I'll liquidate the whole group. What an age we're living in. Listen, he will do that one of these days. We know that, right? There is going to be no sparing this because he's already, someone died for those who wanted to escape. But he'll take those who was. I want to be one of them.
Amen.
He'll take those who was or has accepted Christ and become Christians. What is Christians?
doing the will of God,
right,
they will be taken out of the wrath. We are in that right age, folks.
Thank you, Lord.
We're under that fourth anointing. Let us stand to our feet tonight. Amen. We're under that fourth anointing, aren't we? It's that eagle anointing. Can I just remind you here tonight, how many eagles have I got here?
Amen.
You know what the prophet said? He said, the eagle's not lazy like the vulture.
Wow.
Listen, I believe I'm looking at some people tonight that will never become lazy, soft, lukewarm, slothful Christians. Don't get mad at me, but I believe I'm looking at some spiritually fat people tonight. Your soul is prospering.
Amen.
Overcoming devils.
Come on. Come on.
I know that might not be politically correct to say. I don't believe I'm looking at sluggards tonight. Brother Bram said, did you ever see an eagle compromise? No, sir. There is no compromising in him. Neither does a genuine Christian. He ain't soft. He'll hunt till he finds it. He'll find his meat. He wants fresh manna. He'll get down there and dig till he finds it. He'll fly higher and higher. If there's none in this valley, he'll raise a little higher. Because the higher you go, the more you can see. He says, so it's time for the eagles of this day. How many eagles of this day have we got here?
Emma.
It's time for the eagles of this day to get to flying higher. Dig into God's promises. Not live on vulture food that's been killed years ago. Get out of it. Folks,
amen.
I'm thankful for this end time one.
Yes, amen.
I'm thankful that a prophet come.
Yes.
And revealed to us by the preaching of the word, the will of God. And I want to say this, and I know it's a Wednesday night. And I didn't have time to go really deep in some of the areas I wanted to, but I just want to say this to you. Satan's doing everything he can to attack the structure of a family,
mm-hmm.
of a home. Listen, where we're at right now, and y'all forgive me, but 5 more years from now, we got a whole generation right now that don't know what church is.
Right.
Wow.
That's true.
Wow.
Do y'all realize we got babies being raised told that your living room is a home church?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And church is just playing a tape in your living room?
Yeah.
You realize if time goes on, they'll never know how to conduct a service?
Right. Wow.
It's true.
Now you say, bless God, that must be out there among them Baptists. That's right here around the ranks of the message.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes,
amen.
Somebody's got to raise up.
Amen.
And say, I'm an eagle.
Amen.
I'm not going to lay down here. I'm going to rise up.
Amen.
I wonder tonight, how many say, Lord, thank you.
Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for this message.
Thank you for this message, Lord.
Thank you for your grace.
Yes, God.
I wonder how many fathers here tonight can say thank you. Thank you for the structure you've given me, Lord.
Amen.
I wonder how many mothers, Fifth Gospels, and say, thank you, Lord, for this message.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for sending a prophet to reveal the will of God in home life. I wonder how many young people could say tonight, Lord, I want to thank you for allowing me to be raised under the family I'm raised under.
Yes.
Lord, I want to thank you for the principles I've been taught by the Word of God, by my mother and my father. Lord, I wonder how many members in this church could say, Lord, I just want to thank you for a structural church.
Come on, amen.
Lord, I want to thank you for a place where it's not a bunch of sluggard people coming together. They're not just laying around and desiring and getting nothing, but they're prosperous.
Yes.
They're facing their giants. They're facing their battles.
Amen.
They're facing their obstacles. And they're overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Almighty God, we bow our hearts in your presence tonight. Father, your word is true. And Lord, no matter how unpopular, how unreasonable it is to the world, it's still reasonable to you.
Yes.
And Father, I don't believe there's one person in this service and the sound of my voice tonight that wants to be rejected by you.
No, Lord.
Lord, I believe every one of us, the desire of our heart is to be accepted in the beloved.
Oh, God.
That our praise, our sacrifice, Lord, our work, our carrying out of your will would be acceptable in your sight.
Yes.
Now, Father, I know Satan's attacking on every hand. He's doing everything he can to destroy the faith of God's elect. But I want to tell that devil tonight, Satan, you don't have enough. You don't have enough to destroy the faith of God's elect. You will deceive everything and everybody but the elect of God.
Right.
Now, Father, I pray for every believer under the sound of my voice. I pray for every man of God, every pastor, every preacher, every officer of this church, every husband, every father, every wife, every mother, every child.
Yes, God.
Father, there's a seed inside of their soul. And Lord, the only way to serve you is by carrying out your will. And Lord, you put that seed there, desiring that seed to be a revelation of yourself. Now, Father, I don't want to be a revelation of Laodicea. I don't want to be a manifestation of the new cart. Lord, I don't want my home or my family, Lord. I don't want it to be a manifestation of the new cart. Lord, I want to be found standing up on the principles that our prophet taught us, Lord.
Yes,
God, help
God.
Us tonight, Lord.
Yes, God.
If the enemy's coming in with pressure and intimidation, may the sons and daughters of God rise up as eagles.
Oh, God.
Lord, may they get to digging in the message of the hour.
Yes, God.
May they get to digging in the word of God. May they get to flying higher as the eagles of this day, feeding on the unfailing body
yes,
of the Son
yes,
of Man.
Yes.
Gaining strength over this Laodicean lazy condition. Or this social media has almost gripped the hearts of women and mothers. Father, mothers sitting around in nervous conditions, Lord. Father, coming from these, from comparisons, Lord. Father, I pray tonight if there be one mother here, the devil is trying to attack that woman, that fifth gospel's mind with some thought that you're not good enough, you're not a good mother because you're not like some social media influencer or you're not like some Hollywood star. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
Yes, yes, God.
Our little sisters are gospel-filled mothers.
Yes.
You have no right, Satan. You have no right to identify the standard of our mothers
yes,
by social media or by some standard of Laodicea. These are Holy Ghost-filled daughters.
Amen.
I rebuke you, thou demon of nervousness. Thou demon of anxiety, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Take your hands off of that home. Restore strength to my sister, Lord. Restore strength to my brother, Father. Oh, God, grant us your grace, we pray. I wonder tonight how many could say, I don't just want to know the will of God. I want to do the will of God.
Amen.
As a service unto God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I tell you, God is in this building tonight.
Hallelujah.
I don't have to lay my hands on you. I believe where you're standing right now, you can open
Hallelujah.
Your I need a strength tonight. I need a grace.
Amen.
I need your
mercy. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You realize the world we're living is insane?
Yep.
But God has given a grace. God has given a mercy to this generation. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Brother Bram said the world is totally in one degree, I believe he said, from insanity. One place he said it's insane. Listen, friends, we're living in the hours. We're seeing the fulfillment. But God has put a seed in your soul to reflect His will. Oh, Brother Solomon, the more I've been in this study and this series and going through these sermons and these tapes, Brother Jack, it's just a scream. I don't know how many times I've just stopped in my little office and screamed out, Lord, I want to do your will.
Amen.
That's my only desire in life, is to do the will of God.
Mm.
He said, Amen. Lord, that's my desire.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. God bless you tonight, friends. We love you with the love of the Lord. I pray something's been said to bless you.
Hallelujah.
I pray something's been said to encourage you.
Amen.
And I just say this to you young people. I just fill my heart. Take time sometime and thank your father. Thank your mother.
Amen.
Thank him
Amen.
For raising you with convictions.
Right. Yes. Amen.
I was in a store the other day, Brother Jack, and there was a little boy about the same age as Malachi. And me and Malachi were standing there waiting on my wife, and she was over there shopping. And this little boy just said something to his mother. And she just turned around, and God is my witness. The most filthy, foul language come out of her mouth, cursing and swearing at that little kid. I couldn't believe it. A little three-year-old kid, probably. I looked at Malachi. I said, Malachi, you go over there and thank your mother for raising you in the fear of God.
Amen.
Give your mother a hug and thank her for being a Holy Ghost. You say, well, he don't understand it. He will one day.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Friends, this message has restored
Amen.
Biblical structure.
Amen.
Hey, you love the Lord tonight.
Amen.
God bless you tonight, Brother Jack. Would you? I'm sitting in front of my wife. The pastor can correct me.
It's just in my heart. I want to do the will of God, don't you?
Amen.
I love you for the love of the Lord. God bless you spiritually.
Amen.
Job and take care of the woman. But you know, one of the other things he mentioned around there is this, a lot of young men, they just had a little meeting up in Canada over some of the issues regarding why young people are getting married so late, and it's something actually, it's not just a message issue, but it's something that's been happening throughout the world. Even in the world, people just getting married later and later in life, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. One of the things, amen, that I kind of felt, and Brother Andrew did it tonight, the fear of failure.
Right.
That is a real fear. Even he talked about how the difference in being a child and being an adult is being able to accept the weight of responsibility.
Right.
Right. I mean, these are very rich things, because you know, it's easy to shirk responsibility all your life, right? I mean, and Brother Mon Smiley kind of hit it a few weeks ago. Like, it's, you know, when you sitting there, you got two car payments, insurance. Hello, somebody.
Amen.
And I mean, and you got all this stuff just kind of. I mean, you don't just call in sick.
Come on, amen. Come on.
No, you realize the weight of responsibility, and you got to step up. But when you don't have none of that, it causes you to get a little bit more lazy. Oh, good God Almighty. And sometimes God wants to stretch us. And the only way we're going to be stretched is we got to get into some situations where, amen, we begin to know God a little bit better.
Amen.
You can't talk about him making a way if you've never seen him make a way.
Come on.
You never seen
God
do that. It's hard to talk about that.
Yes, yes.
But I know what I'm talking about. When you're underneath that weight,
yeah. cause you to go to your knees and pray, and you'll be able to tell God, Lord, I paid my tithes,
yes,
and my offering.
Amen.
And you say you're going to rebuke the devil for
my sake. Yes, Lord.
God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I know you're going to do it. I got a God on my side.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, it's something about being able to get underneath that responsibility. Just watch God just make a way.
Amen.
Watch God make a way. I mean, too many of us have seen it. We know
yes.
It works. Yep. You say, I know too much about him. You can't make me doubt.
Yep. No. Yep. I said it. I believe it.
I like that. I like that fear of responsibility. I wrote that one down. I said, I'm going to have to preach that somewhere down the line. The fear of responsibility. Or the fear of failure.
Or
the fear of failure. God help us. We don't want to have that. God has not given us the spirit of fear.
But
of love, power, and sound mind.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Andrew, we appreciate you stopping by. This spirit of you all don't probably see it or hear too much about it because you know you go to church, but there are other places where people get encouraged not to go to church. Now I'm gonna tell you how they got there. They got to the not going to church. There's a couple things that happened. One thing is that people exalted Brother Branham too high.
Right.
Yeah.
They couldn't see that they had to put Christ in that place, not the prophet in that place. And people used to say all kind of things, you know, when they went to Jeffersonville and they pray in Brother Branham's name and do all that kind of. We don't do none of that here.
No.
We don't worship the prophet. We worship God.
Amen. Amen.
But people did that, and they didn't get that thing back on the word, so it kind of caused them to just kind of go to only want to play tapes only. Then we got to a spot now where we are push play only, no more preaching, right? And I should say that because it to me it's really sad that you don't want any preaching, but when somebody die. You're looking for a preacher to come and preach a funeral.
Come on.
And I was going to say this, and when somebody get married, typically you're looking for a preacher to come and perform that ceremony. However, nowadays it's so bad that we push and play at a wedding ceremony.
What? Wow. Yeah.
That's not even your name.
Right.
In the wedding vows, and you're going to push play. Come on now, this is out of
control.
It's out of control.
Right.
It's out of control, right? And again, like he said, you're gonna have young people coming up, little kids growing up in an environment like this. The very thing that they push and play on and listening to, they have never experienced.
Right. Right.
Never actually been in a church. What is that? That's church. That's where these things were preached at. What you listen at on the tape, they would preach that in a church.
Right.
Brother Branham got his inspiration when he got to the church.
Right.
When the Holy Spirit would come and actually anoint what was being spoken. Right? So we're going to have a generation that don't know nothing about that. That's going to be real sad.
Right.
And it's the parents' fault. Brother Branham called it parent.
Delinquency.
That's going to be rough. God help us. So we got to thank God. I like that. Young people, y'all tell your parents you appreciate. Thank you for putting me in a church where I can be fed. Thank you for putting me in a situation where I can succeed. Thank you. Tell them thank you sometimes. Not complaining all the time, but tell them thank you.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I appreciate the word of God today.
Amen.
Let me have the announcements, amen. I know we have Sister Dixon celebrating her birthday today. We thank God for giving her another year. Amen. Here, we really thank God for that. On Sunday, we'll be back.
prayers time will start at 8:30 to 9:30. Sunday school from 8:45 to 9:15, and then service will start at 9:30. Streaming continues through Facebook, SAT Tabernacle, and our church website, john423.org. Don't forget, we have a youth service coming up on Friday, December 19th. That'll be 7:30 p.m. on Friday, December 19th. And we have our the gift cards that we like to give out during Christmas time, just to be a blessing to other families that just may need, you know, a little blessing. So we have a box that we bring and put in the bag. And that's the last day we can give that is next Wednesday. So just put the gift card that you have purchased in a polka dot box in the bag. And next Wednesday is the last day that we can do that, because we're going to give them out on that Thursday. So my wife was even saying, if you didn't have a gift card, you just want to put cash, she said she'll be glad to go and buy the gift card on your behalf and give that to them. So whoever, you know, would like to be a part of that, we certainly want to invite you to do that. One of the our giving is through multiple ways: Zelle, PayPal, Cash App. Preferred method being Zelle, because they don't take fees. But if you use Zelle or PayPal, it's giving at john423.org. Cash App is $Spirit2T. We have an address on the bottom of the screen. And those in the sanctuary, if you want to use the wooden box there on the back table, feel free to do so. One other thing Brother Andrew mentioned tonight that it just made me just kind of stop and just be grateful. He was talking about how there have been many churches that have had a lot more than we have had at Spirit of Truth Tabernacle, but they got all of that and not following the message today.
Girl.
Nice buildings.
Right.
I mean, got all kind of things, but not have fallen completely away from the word. I know churches that have split over this tape only. You know, they had a really nice building they was worshiping, and then when they came to the tape only, the pastor said, "No, I want to keep preaching." People left the church because they thought the pastor was wrong by still preaching. Divided. Church shut down over tape only. Right? Mm. We got each other.
Amen.
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 We ain't got nothing else. We got each other. And I'd rather be doing this with this group of believers than any other group I know.
Amen.
Brother Solomon was telling me that as you all are leaving here, a couple weeks ago you were leaving here, and there's a lady that goes to the other church, you know, the church that we're renting from, one of the members that come to a couple brothers and said, you know, there's two things we noticed about you all. One is that we can see y'all love each other. Y'all love each other so much. We just see how y'all interact with one another. Y'all, we can see the love. There was one other thing they said. What was it?
The atmosphere when we
right.
leave.
And they said, when you all leave, the atmosphere is still felt in the church. So it's so much easier for us to be able to enter in and get right into our service. We don't have to work too hard because the atmosphere is already set. That's what they're saying about you. Right? And as I was talking with Brother Andrew earlier, it kind of took me down a little trail. I had to jog my memory on something. When we first came to this building, I brought my brothers to see this building. My wife and I already saw it, but we didn't think of anything of it because they just didn't have the right time slots for us. But when they called me back and said, you know what, those slots that you want, they're available, and if y'all still want it, y'all can have it. And I brought the brothers here, you know, the deacons and the trustees, and we looked around, and as we're standing out there in that hallway, the pastor began to say, and that's my first time meeting him, he says, we're talking about, you know, just his journey in Christianity, and he says, "I'm a son of W.V. Grant." I said, "Is that right?" Okay, he said, "You heard him?" I said, "I think so, just a little bit. I know about him." He says, "Yeah." He says, "Well, have you ever heard of William Marion Branham?"
And the brothers looked at me and said, yeah, I heard of him a little bit. He said, well, W.B. Grant got the anointing from William Marion Brown. I said, okay. They feel it when they coming in here at us. And I think they now know where that anointing is resting.
Yes. Right.
Praise God. It's Elisha.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's the anointing from Elisha.
Yeah. Amen.
All right. Hallelujah. Brother Branham said, no, the she and the he.
Yeah.
Right? So it's the bride that takes on that anointing. But as we were walking down there, I said, God is the one that opened this door.
Right.
For us to come through here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I feel there's a squeeze happening to us.
Yeah.
And so we're gonna have to just pray
to the big
regarding these things, because we know God is wanting to open this door again. And if he's squeezing us out to go to better, praise God.
Yeah.
I'm taking that.
Amen.
But if somebody else got to find another place to go or something like that, then that's fine too. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Come down. Come down.
All right. I'll just leave it like that.
Amen. Zoom in.
But I know God opened up this door. And it wasn't no accident that brother asked by William Branham.
Right.
He didn't know who he was talking to on that day.
Right.
And he didn't ask me no questions. If we'd have went deeper, I would have answered some things, but I just didn't say nothing.
Right.
But I'm sure the videos and the everything else pick up what's going on in here. But the anointing is what makes the difference.
Amen.
Amen. Glory. Amen. Before we leave here tonight, anybody got a special testimony they want to share? Okay. All right. Come on, sis. Did I have any other hands? I got one here. We got another one? Okay. All right. Here, you can take my mic, sis.
I want to thank everyone for their prayers. I finished school. I'm very grateful because the last semester was extremely hard. They were just giving us tests back to back without giving us any direction what's on the test, and our grade was completely dependent on it. So I'm very grateful you brought me through. And I would like to thank you for bringing Brother Andrew here tonight and speaking on anxiety, because I would be getting
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I'm a little nervous, y'all don't need to get up here. I have a couple of testimonies. On Saturday, myself and Sister Melissa were out shopping for groceries, and we went over to Sam's Club, and we were just walking around purchasing groceries and stuff, and then but before we went into the store, when I got out of my car, I heard something fall. But I looked around, I didn't see anything, but I knew I dropped something. But I couldn't find it, so I said, I'll just go in the store and come back out. By the time I got in the store, I had forgot about it. So we left Sam's Club and went over to Walmart. And when we was walking in the shopping, I just didn't feel right. And Sister Melissa was like, you don't have on your ring. And I looked at my hand like, oh, I don't know. I think that's what I dropped. So when I kept feeling funny, and I searched my purse. I'm like, I can't find my ring. And I was so scared. And it was actually a ring that it wasn't mine, it belonged to my mom, and I really didn't want to lose it. I had it since she passed, and she had it since I was a little girl, so I said, I want to keep that ring. And so I told Sister Melissa, I said, I got to find that ring, I got to find it. So she said, okay, you go back to the store, I'll get the groceries and and I'll meet you over there. I said, no, I'm not gonna leave you. So we finished shopping and we went over there searching. I checked my purse again. I couldn't find the ring. I'm like, I know that's what it was. So I went to where I was parked and there was a van parked there. We both looking on the ground looking for it and whatever. And I went to crying and praying. I said, Lord, if you did that for Sister Tina a while back, you did it for other people. You did it for somebody in Brother Brandon's days. You gave them what they was looking for, even with Brother Josue with a garbage can. Mm-hmm. I know you can do it for me.
Amen.
So I looked at Sister Melissa. She looked at me. And some said, just check your purse. I looked at my purse. The ring was right there.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And then on Monday, I was headed to work, and I got a call from my son, Jeremiah. It was early in the morning, and he said, it's like I can barely hear him. His voice just was gone. And I asked Mr. Jay, what's wrong, what's wrong? He said, he just kept saying he was in a paramedic. I said, okay, so I turned my car around. I went all the way home, and I told Jimmy what was going on and whatever. So I said, well, I got to get to work. Jimmy went to, he said, all I know, he was going to the hospital, and Jimmy and my daughter and my nephew went up to the hospital where Jeremiah was. So I kept going on to work, and I seen this car that was ran into a pole. I'm like, wow, that's a bad accident. So I said, I just prayed, Lord, whoever that was, please help them, protect them, let them be all right. So by the time I got on pass, I found out that accident, the car had hit the pole so bad till the car had split. Mm-hmm. I found out that accident, that was my son. He actually fell asleep on a wheel coming from Jupiter. He fell asleep and ran the car into the pole and split. So I said, Lord, I thank you.
Yes.
I thank you because I didn't know that was him. Mm-hmm. It could have been worse.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Because that car could have hit the railroad tracks because the train had just came through. So he could have actually ran into a train. But I thank you for sparing his life. So just keep him in prayer so I know God has given him another chance.
Yes.
And he should be walking in that door.
Right.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank God for watching over brother and sister King's son.
Yeah.
Amen. Did we have any other praise reports? Okay. All right. Who wants this?
I just want to thank God just for meeting the needs and providing. One, as Brother Dex said, providing us with a place to worship. Just these Wednesday night testimonies are just bless my soul. I mean, from the little ones that come up and give testimonies to the oldest. And so when God does something for me, I do that. Just give him thanks and praise. When we came back from Australia, my refrigerator was empty. I left it empty and came back and my pockets was a little empty too. Sister to call and say, Sister, what do you want? You want some green beans? I said, oh yeah, I'll take them. Had to clean them, but I'll take them. I need some food. So I got to the sister and I had some green beans and I had onion and I had some eggplant and some tomatoes.
All right.
Man, I need good. So a couple days later, I had all my vegetables. I went to the store and got a couple more items. And that night when I got home, my old neighbor came over and he said, hey, I got a whole lot of meat in the freezer. You want some meat? You want some
me a big old slab of salmon. I didn't know what kind of fish I was getting. Slab of salmon, I could eat off of that for a couple of weeks. I'm like, man, I got my vegetables, my meat, and everything. I'm set. But I just thank God for that. And,
right.
And now I'm trying to be in the market of doing some upgrades to the house. And I was looking for tile, and the least expensive tile, the nicest quality I could get was like $1.99 a yard. If I get somebody to do the installation, it's probably going to be about $3,000-$4,000 for the size of my house. So when I priced the material, it came up to like $3,000. So I went back and I'm asking the guy, this is the least expensive tile you got. He said, come here, let me show you something. So he showed me some tile that was on clearance for $1 a square foot. And he said, it's much better than the one that you picked out. I said, oh man, better than cheaper? He said, okay. The only thing is, he didn't have enough to do the whole house. He said, you're going to have to probably go to this door, and all of them. He said, you don't want to do that. So I'm like, $1 a yard, I'm going to take my chance and go to this store and this store. So I went to the other store and on 441, and it was the Lowe's. And so I told the guy, I said, do you all have, you know, this tile that I'm looking for? They had it on clearance at the other store. He said, yeah. So he had a crate of it. It was about 20 boxes. But I still need about 50 more. So he was like, come here, let me show you something. So he pointed to me, the tile was on clearance. That was two or three times better than the other. It was $1, still $1, but the quality was much higher. And the slabs were bigger, and I was like, man, look at God. He's giving me better for less. And I'm trusting that God's going to do the same thing for our church. He's going to give us better.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. I believe that.
Amen.
It is better for less.
Amen.
I like that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that testimony. Sister Verna, I was happy to hear how she was reminded of Brother Josue sharing a testimony about a garbage can.
Yeah. Come on.
How about that one?
Yeah.
And God will be mindful of your garbage can.
Come on.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Come on.
How much more mindful will it be for everything else that you have?
Yeah. Amen.
God is good.
Amen.
All right. Any others before we... I saw a hand for a prayer request. This, okay. What was that for you? A murder suicide in a house, and both the parents gone. All right, we'll remember that family in prayer. Amen. All right, let us just bow. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. Father, we're praying that you would look upon this family that has suffered a tremendous loss. A father who took the life of his wife and then took his own life and leaves these children behind. God, they need strength, supernatural strength, to carry them through this season. But they need your comfort. They need your peace. They need your love. They need all of that. And we just ask, God, that you would just intervene on their behalf, that you would surround them with the right people that would. Well, sometimes it's not necessarily speaking the right word, but sometimes it's just being present and just showing people that you love them.
Yes.
God, we ask that you would cover this family even right now.
Yes, Lord.
And we know how the enemy would love to come and just try to bring more damage, but we just pray, Father, that you would give them strength to overcome all that Satan has thrown in their direction. And we know that you're able. We pray, Father, for the saints, Lord, as they would prepare to leave this place tonight, go in their respective ways. We ask that you would give each one traveling mercies. Thank you for the wonderful testimonies that we've heard here tonight and how you've been in our lives.
of your people. Thank you for your divine protection. An accident that could have been, Lord, another story being told, but God, you, your angels were there, the angel Lord encamping around about them that fear him and delivered them from all their troubles. We thank you for being that kind of God. We thank you, Lord, for giving strength and power and victory over anxiety. Thank you, Lord, for letting our sister pass her tests in school. And,
yes,
and,
God.
Thank you for letting our sister find her ring, God.
Yes,
and
gorgeous. Jesus.
The sister with being provided food and even desiring to make upgrades to her house and how she's getting better for less.
Amen.
Yes.
Father, when we hear that, we believe the same can be for the church, that we will have better for less. We believe that. We receive it, Father, even right now. And God, as your servant would prepare to leave on tomorrow, going to Trinidad, we pray for traveling mercies for him, and that you would touch him, that you would use him there in a mighty way, Father, in the services that are coming forward. Watch over his wife and the two children back home, his family, Lord, may you keep them while he's away. And just trust God that you bring us all back home, bring us all back to service on Sunday morning, Lord, ready to enter in and give you our all. Trusting that you'll meet us here once again. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. The brothers will come at this time to dismiss you. God bless you.
Good, Sister Tina.